Well, for the 61st time, Hayward will soon be hosting the Lumberjack World Championships. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau on the Ideas Network. We're going to talk about the event and what it's like to compete with our first two guests. Executive Director Ben Popp is back with us. He's wearing his Lumberjack hat instead of his Birkebeiner skis this time. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for being with us. And with him is Fred Scheer. He's a four-time world champion men's log roller. Hi, Fred.
How's it going? Nice to
good,
be here.
Good, good. What would you like to know about lumberjack competitions? Do you have a question about the event? Join in by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, I'm so glad to have you with us, guys. Ben, how excited are you for this year's event after a year of hiatus?
Well, that's just it. I mean, the excitement level is really high. Ticket sales are at a record pace. People are excited about getting back to some semblance of gathering in small town northern Wisconsin and just enjoying the festival atmosphere of what it's like to be a part of Lumberjack World Championships. Again, you know, last year was hard. It was, weren't able to do it, of course, but now to bring back the event, some of the finest lumberjacks from around the world are going to be here in Hayward now inside of a month. So we're excited. The community's ready. The organization's ready. And we're ready to host the world right here in Hayward.
Awesome. So what are the dates so that people know and where can they get all the details?
Yeah, so July 29, 30, and 31. So it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the way it works out is Thursday is, you can almost think of it as like the quarterfinals. Friday is the semifinals, and then Saturday are the finals. And so each day the gates open at 11, and the competitions start actually at 6 p.m. and then go into the evening. And it's you can get all the information you need at lumberjackworldchampionships.com. And everything you might need to know there. And yeah, it's the competition is, again, pretty darn excited just because it's been a year off. So it's actually been 2 years since 2019 that we've actually been able to do it.
Yeah, amazing. And we do have that link to your website on our website. If so, folks just want to go to WPR.org/Larry and click on this particular show, they'll also get that direct link too. Now, Fred, you're a former world champ in log rolling. So how did you even get involved in that in the first place?
Well, I grew up in Hayward, and I need to clarify that those world championships I first competed in Lumberjack Bowl. It's funny to talk about things that happened 52 years ago, right? So, it's funny when you talk about things that happened over 50 years ago. But anyway, I log rolled for the first time when I was 12 years old. I grew up in Hayward. And at the time, the Lumberjack Bowl and Historyland was owned by Tony Wise, you know, the famous promoter of the Lumberjack World Championships and the American Birkebeiner. And he offered log rolling lessons as a just an alternative things for kids in the area to do. And my sister took it up first, and she said, hey, this was a lot of fun. And growing up, I was one of six kids, single mom, you know, we were always looking for stuff to do. So I'd ride my bike down to Lumberjack Bowl and practice, got kind of good at it. And the rest was history.
I love that. So how did that affect your life? I mean, it seems like it's definitely been a big, big deal for you.
Oh yeah, it was enormous. I mean, I started when I was 12 years old. When I was 15, I entered the men's professional division there and got second place in the men's open division at age 15. And there was this iconic guy. He was a Canadian guy. His name was Phil Scott. And at that time, he was a five-time champion, five times in a row. In fact, I don't think he ever lost in those 5 years to any matches anywhere. There's four or five big tournaments in North America, and he would go to all of them and would win all of them. It took me 5 years to beat him, but when I was 20 years old, I was working at Telmark, ironically, and I would ride my bike from Telmark down to Hayward, which was a 20-mile bike ride. I would practice, I would ride home, so I got quite fit. And beat him decisively, and he hadn't been beaten ever. And so that was the first time I won the world championships. That was in 1978, and then I continued competing. Would compete in the summertime. Then I would travel around the country working in different places. I did that for 5 years, did not go to college, came back then to Hayward. So I think I was 23 years old when my brother Rob and I started the Shears Lumberjack Show, which was held in Lumberjack Bowl. Tony Wise used to let us use the spot. And that was my first business. We operated in Historyland for a couple of years, and we moved to another spot for 7 years. Then, ironically, we came back and bought part of the bowl when Tony went bankrupt. So the LWC bought part. I bought part. We were just in our late 20s, my brother and I, at the time. And from there, developed Lumberjack Village, you know, which is kind of an iconic business in Hayward. And 10 years later, started a real estate business, construction business. And so it was greatly influential in that it was the gateway to me becoming a businessman, entrepreneur.
Amazing. Who would have thought, right?
yeah, it worked out, you know.
And
yeah.
It's a family affair, like you said, your sister, but you've got a son that's really involved in it too, right?
Yeah. So my brother Rob and I were in business together for 20 years at Lumberjack Bowl. So promoting the Lumberjack Show and involved in the LWC. I was on the board. So that when Tony Wise went bankrupt, the promoter of those two events, this is way back in the mid 80s, the community formed the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation and the Lumberjack World Championships Foundation. So those were both community events or community organizations that ran those two events. So I was on that board for 20 years. And then, in fact, I was on that board until the LWC came in or the ABSF came in and basically took over the board. But my brother Rob, when we went our separate ways, he went to Ketchikan, Alaska, opened a show there where the tour boats come in. Very, very successful business. My sister Tina has a summer attraction show called Timber Tina's Great Alaska or Great Maine Lumberjack Show, and she's in Ellsworth, Maine, near Bar Harbor. And then my son, who worked with me for many years in the show, just decided he's 40 years old, and he decided about age 35 that he wanted to see if he could expand his skill level, and which is very unusual for a log roller. So he was a champion log roller and climber. Very unusual for a log roller climber specialist to take up chopping and sawing. But he chose to. He knew how to do it from doing the shows, of course. But to at a competitive level, that's very unusual for that to happen. Anyway, he embarked upon that, and within 3 years was the best U.S. Chopper sawyer, and he won the Steel Timber Sports Series in 2019, the last time they ran it. And then he went to Slovakia, the Czech Republic, for the World Championships, which was all the Steel Timber Sports national champions from their different countries, 20 countries, and he won the silver medal there. So that was my proud dad moment.
I'll bet it was. Now, you mentioned a little bit about some of the events. So, Ben, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what each one of those events are? So we know there's log rolling, and there's five or six different categories?
Yeah. I mean, it is really amazing. If people haven't been to one of either a Lumberjack show or come to a competition like the Steel Series or Lumberjack World Championships, it is absolutely amazing, these athletes, because not only are they the size of the door in strength, but they're unbelievably nimble and fast and quick because the skills required to do these different events. So as we touched on it, log rolling, obviously, imagine standing on a log that's floating in water, to the boom run, which if you haven't seen the boom run is really quite cool. They tie together, I think it's a 10 or 12 logs, and you run across from one dock to the other, circle around a barrel and come back. And so again, super nimble, and amazing balance and strength. But then you get into some of the other events, like the chopping and sawing, where they have these huge chainsaws, huge strength required to sawing. And the sawing events are not only individual, but there's also team events. So it can be Jack and Jill, where it's a man and a woman, or it can be an individual, or they can be two men or two women. Axe throwing, springboard, which is pretty darn cool. If you haven't seen springboard, that's another one where, you know, it's a combination of chopping, having to move your way up the top of a log and then chop off the top. And it's just amazing to watch. And then, of course, pole climbing. The speed climbing is always a fan favorite. They're climbing 90 feet in the air. So imagine a basketball hoop times nine and climbing up. But the amazing part is not only is it how fast they climb up, but they essentially free fall back down to the bottom. So imagine climbing, 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 and then the speed at which they come down, everybody's jaw is sort of like, whoa, they just did what? So I would highly recommend getting to one of the shows if you haven't seen it, because the athletes are just unbelievable that do it. And it's, again, a wide variety from climbing and chopping to sawing and running. So, yes.
All kinds. And if you want a little taste of that, I did see the video on the website that we had talked about earlier, the Lumberjack World Championships. And it gives you a little bit, just a taste of every one of those. And it really is remarkable. The fans must really get into the events.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, I think, one of the really fun parts. You have a bowl surrounded with 4,000 or 5,000 people in this really intimate setting. Lumberjack Bowl is sort of this finger of Lake Hayward, and around it is all the bleachers. And so now you get out there and, you know, it's covered. I mean, back in the day, I think it was Wide World of Sports when Fred was competing, and now ESPN that covers it. And so the excitement, I think you see the athletes build off the excitement of the crowd, and you can see it just of course, like any competition. But it's really the thrill of trying to win not only a single event, but the overall is something else. And it's, of course, in the middle of the competition, everyone's excited and focused. But then there's a whole carnival aspect to it as well, of vendors and the like. So it's really an event to take in. And then you plop that down in little northern Wisconsin, Hayward, and certainly it gives it a real vibe of the enjoyment of outdoors.
Absolutely. So how do people qualify to compete?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, there's an athlete advisory committee. So people, there's a series of lumberjack competitions all around the U.S. and the world. And of course, this year, the competition is going to be mainly American because of the restrictions of COVID and traveling. There will be some Canadians, I believe. But so there's a series of competitions, be it Steel Series and other ones around the that they then apply with their different, because all the different boom runs and chopping and sawing are somewhat standardized. So you apply, and then the athlete advisory committee goes through it and brings in about the top 120 athletes in the respective different competitions. And then they are brought in, and everyone again gets to compete in the quarterfinals on Thursday. Then there's a semi, so it gets whittled down then to the semis on Friday, to then the final competition Saturday night, when under the, you know, bright lights, big city atmosphere, it's pretty darn exciting to crown the champion. And so it's really quite rigorous to just certainly be invited to the competition or be able to be in one of the rounds. So it's quite a process to get there.
Wonderful. Well, we're talking to Ben Popp, the executive director of the Lumberjack World Championships, and Fred Scheer, a four-time world champion men's log roller. What questions do you have for them? Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Natalie Guyette is our on-air producer today, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. After 11:45, we'll talk with a Wisconsin scuba instructor about how to get certified and some great places to dive in Wisconsin. That's next on the Ideas Network. But right now, we're talking about the Lumberjack World Championships up in Hayward. Fred, what kind of skills do the competitors really need? I mean, I know physicality, obviously, but what do they do to hone them for these events?
Well, you really kind of have three different specialists that you know occur in the event. So you have the log rollers tend to be log rollers, and they, you know, that's a speed event. I mean, I always liken it to fencing, your weapon is your feet in the log versus, you know, being able to reach out and touch someone. So literally when you're on the logs are all 12 feet long. There's a center line painted in the middle of the log that you can't step on. So not only can you not cross it, but you can't step on it. If you step on that 6-inch line, you're disqualified. And so with the log rollers, I mean, there's two different factors. I mean, obviously speed and fast, quick work, fast footwork is hugely beneficial, but you know, it's also very nuanced. I mean, the better the top log rollers, they're not just getting on and seeing who can stay on the longest. They are literally doing aggressive moves of stopping the log, speeding it up. You know, they wear a special spiked shoe, a soccer shoe with golf cleats. There's about 20 of them, so they have really good control. They don't slip much. And, you know, the better ones, once they start on a 15-inch diameter log, and if in 2 minutes there's no fall, nobody falls in the water, so all the matches are 3 out of 5 falls. If no one falls in, you immediately go to a small 1-inch diameter smaller log, which spins faster. So they get you down to the fast action right away. Most of the men's matches, a lot of them finish on that second log. Sometimes the third log, many of the women's go to the fourth log, which is 12 inches in diameter. And 12 inches in diameter for the women's match, for instance, that log is oftentimes going to be right at water level. I mean, you almost can barely see it. And the explosiveness of the cedar, so they're on Western Red Cedar, it's very dry, very buoyant, spins super fast. So they're not just trying to stay on, they're trying to get each other off. Then with the tree climbers, you know, they're also, I would say more endurance, you know, less weightlifter, more gymnastic. So, I mean, those are, again, smaller guys, really good physical shape, great, you know, cardio. I mean, all the athletes have good cardio, but they're more a smaller guy. They got to climb up 90 feet. So the pole climbers are kind of specialists. And then you have the chopping and sawing athletes who tend to be bigger, stronger. I mean, you're going to have a very difficult time winning any of the chops at the Lumberjack World Championships if you're a 150-pound guy. I mean, doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to have a hard time competing in the chopping events. I mean, the hot saw event, that's a 60-pound saw that they're picking up that is crazy fast, and there's a, you know, the torque of it creates crazy amounts of torque so those athletes tend to be bigger. So you do kind of have three distinct groups of athletes, but you also have an all-around champion, which typically comes off of the chopping and sawing dock because they have 6 events over there that they're able to score points on. But you have had, you know, there have been some years where you do have, well, for instance, my son, and then there's a Canadian athlete named Sterling Sharp that is, they were guys that were able to work both sides. And Sterling did win the, it is Sharp, is that the right name? Yeah, Sterling, it's a Canadian guy that won the all-around 1 year, which was really kind of unprecedented. And my son has been second. He's never been able to close the deal all the way, but he's trying really hard.
We have a question from Mike in La Crosse for you. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. I live in La Crosse where Judy Heschler and her girls, you know, have applied their trade and won some championships, or based out of here anyway, I guess. And so just living here for 40 years now, I've seen some shows over the years. And in regards to log rolling specifically, is the offensive move of kicking up some water towards your opponent, how viable is that strategy? Because you're at a point where you've got only 1 foot on the log in a certain direction. It seems like you're at risk of balance. Can you comment on that strategy? And I'll take your answer off the phone and on the air.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's actually a great question. Kicking water. So that's something that never occurred at all until I did it. I was the first guy to do it in competition. And that's when I was talking earlier about when I had been rolling the same guy for 5 years, he'd been beating me. I'd never won a fall off of him, but that year I trained very hard and I kicked water on him on the third log. And for me, it was as much, I mean, as part of it is, it can be very effective. I'll get into that, but it also can be a bit of a mind game. I mean, when you're saying, hey, let's go, it's like, it's kind of go time. I mean, the first year that I did that in the championship, first of all, I shocked everybody. And that guy, and Phil's a great guy. He was a great guy, great friend, but I kicked water on him and then he spit on me.
Oh my.
Because he was that mad that I had done it. But it can be wickedly effective because it gets water into your opponent's eyes, and it changes your focus. So you can, you can, you know, can take you a little bit off balance. I mean, the thing with log rolling, I always tell people, if you look at log rolling pictures, still shots of people, every single muscle in your body is in tune to that balancing. I mean, you're using everything for that balance. I mean, the balance is really important. And if you kick water into somebody's eyes, it can just throw a few things off to where, and it clouds their eyes and they can fall in. But the flip side of it is, as often as not, it is risky to the person doing it, in that you are putting one foot on the log. You have to spin sideways a little bit. You have to reach down. It's not like the water is right. I mean, sometimes you have to reach down 3 or 4 inches. So as often as not, it's an aggressive move that backfires. But for people who are really effective at it, it can be a really good move.
Interesting. Well, thanks for that question, Mike. Let's go now to Jerry in Reedsburg. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there. I got a couple of questions, but to hear Tony Weiss's name called and talking about him, I got kind of excited. I skied 21 Birkebeiners in a row, so I was there in the early days of Tony. But anyway, I have a question I'll take off the air. When does the time start on the pole climb? When do you start? When do you end the timer on the pole climb? Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Another good question. So, I want to interject here. In addition to being a log roller, I have skied 30 Berkeys, by the way. and my wife has skied 31. So we're both.
You're not competitive, are you, Fred? You're not competitive at all.
Yeah, it's something to do in the wintertime if you live in Hayward, for sure. So, but anyway, in the pole climbing, so the starting cadence on all the events is 1-2 go, and in the climbing event, they will have 1 foot in the tree and their rope will be reached up for them to. So typically in the pole climbing, they do step, when they're really good at it, they do step, step, throw, step, 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 throw. And so on go, they take that second step and start throwing their rope. So it starts on go and then they have to climb up. They have to throw their rope above the line on the top, which is something that gets watched for, because the really good guys will actually throw that rope above the line at the top of the tree, but at the same time, they're pulling both of their feet away from the tree. So that last step, it's almost a jump. They flip their rope above the line. Their feet come out of the tree at exactly the same time, and that's when they begin that free fall down. A lot of the guys will just kick the tree with their spurs. Well, the rule says you have to do it every 15 feet. So they will tick that line, you know, they'll reach for the line, they'll let the feet go, and literally, I mean, I don't know the time when they're coming down, but I think it's 3 or 4 seconds. I mean, it really is a controlled free fall, and the last 15 feet, well, I think they can only take one jump of over 30 feet. I think that's what it is. So, because a lot of, over 15, that's what it is. One over 15 feet, because then all of them basically will burn the tree at the last 20 feet. And they're using their rope. So that if you think about, the rope is around the tree, I'm grabbing my hands. Now this is a big 1-inch hemp rope with a steel cable on the inside. I've got gloves on and I'm leveraging with my forearms that rope into the tree. That's the break. And my feet, I'm just ticking to control the descent. So, but anyway, the question is, it starts on go
and stops on
and stops when their body hits the pad, and okay. And they come down hard. I mean, that it's a little bit abusive to the, I mean, the athletes in that event, it's probably the one where you have, over the years, have had the highest incidence of injury for guys just going a little bit too hard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that call. So, Ben, what does this competition do for the Hayward area?
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. You know, one of the things that Hayward is so good at is hosting the world, whether it's a Berkey in the winter or other events throughout the year. I think we looked the other day, just in general, there's about 30 events happening in Hayward, 30 different weekends of events. And so it's really built around hosting the world here, enjoying outdoor activities. And economically speaking, of course, you're bringing over 15,000 people into Lumberjack Bowl, which means they're staying in resorts or eating at restaurants.
So really the economic impact of having not only the festival going on and the people that are here, it certainly really helps the greater community. And ultimately, oftentimes people come from all over the country. It's just amazing to see the campers roll in or the license plates from all over. And oftentimes they're here, they not only come to one day of competition, they'll buy a 3-day pass, come to all three competitions, but they'll spend the whole week. They'll say, hey, you know, I'm coming all the way to Wisconsin. Why don't I come and spend a bunch of other time and maybe try some fishing or go on one of the trails or whatnot. So it really economically is a really big part of our community. And certainly I think we really take pride in being really great hosts when people are here, because it ends up being the competition, as Fred has been talking about, it starts at 6 o'clock and it's from 6 to 8-ish. It's a really great produced event. People are in their chairs. But again, when the gates open at 11, people spend their whole day there. There's all sorts of things to do and enjoy, listen to live music, check out the vendors. And so they certainly want to be here early and spend a bunch of time and ultimately a bunch of money in our community.
Sounds good. We've been talking to Ben Popp and Fred Scheer about the upcoming Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward. The dates are July 20th, or not 20th, that's 29th, right, through the 31st, is that right? Yeah.
29th through 30th.
Right, okay, I want to make sure I get that right. So have you got any questions about the event? Do you have any questions about the competitions? Have you been? We'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email. That's ideas@wpr.org. So, Fred, you had mentioned earlier that you're involved in some of these the Lumberjack shows that are separate from the competition. Tell us a little bit about those. What do people see when they attend those?
Yeah, so we started that, as I had indicated earlier, when, you know, in my early 20s. And so the Lumberjack World Championships was this great event that happened that we were active in. And my brother and I, you know, got this idea, you know, well, maybe tourists would like to make that a part of their weekly visits. So that's an event that occurred one time a summer. And we thought, well, maybe we could do on a weekly show and you know, just piggyback off of that event and the events. And so anyway, we designed a hour and 15 minute program and started that and it just took off right away. So now we offer, so we've got 5 shows a week in Hayward, and we have 5 shows a week over in Monaco Woodruff. And it's an hour and a half program, and been doing that over 30 years, I guess. And I always say we're like cats on Broadway. You know, we've been doing essentially the same program, but we've got, you know, a great batch of young guys that filter through. You know, usually we keep guys around for 4 or 5 years. It's a fun job. They make good money, and I always tell them it's the only job they'll ever have where people will clap for them and ask them for their autograph when they're done. So, but it's a great summer tradition. I mean, we've been doing them in Hayward and again, that other resort community with Monaco Woodruff. It's been a great addition to activities for our summer visitors.
Sure. Now you said guys, now is this mostly a male dominated sport, or are the women making some inroads there too?
In the log rolling, in boom running, the women are well, there's actually probably more women than men, and it's even a little more competitive. I mean, they've got a really, really deep, dynamic group of young women in the log rolling. In addition to that, you have women who compete on the chopping and sawing side. So they do have now have women's events on the chopping dock. They've got an underhand chop, a single buck, a Jack and Jill sawing event, which is a man and a woman in the crosscut sawing, and they have women's log roll and women's boom run. So the women are absolutely a big part of the show, no doubt. And really have enhanced certainly the entertainment value of the show. I mean, people love to see they love to see the women chop, they love to see the women log roll, they love to see the guys do it. And you know, we even have an event at the LWC where a couple of masters events where we've got a masters underhand where you've got guys from 40 to 80 that chop on the dock, which is all, and that's a handicap event based on your age, but that's another crowd favorite by far.
Very cool. So, Ben, what's the actual history of this? I mean, it goes back to the actual lumberjacks, right?
Yeah, well, and actually, you know, it is pretty amazing, right, that this isn't something that was just made up. And all of these skills were used back in the day as they were harvesting timber and running the logs down. And it's that's, I think, one of the neatest parts. And I think, you know, Fred and certainly many of the others that knew Tony, I mean, Tony was a real entrepreneur, born in 21, World War II tank veteran, loved his community. He loved Hayward. He, from a skiing standpoint, really loved Bavaria and everything that was happening in Scandinavia and just wanted to bring that back. But then again, he was from Hayward and knew that the lumber industry was really, really big here. And I think he felt that ultimately having a competition and sort of, again, one of the, like, hey, we've got some of the best lumberjacks right here in Hayward from around the world, and we're going to show it to you. So if we put on a competition, you might as well come on up here and watch us kick your butt a little bit. And I think he was really proud of his community and really was a big part of why these events were built. And, you know, I think Hayward would be very different in this whole area if it wasn't for somebody like Tony Wise, who had this vision of not only putting on events and entertaining people, but it was bringing some of the best athletes, as Fred was mentioning, some of the best men and women, lumberjacks and Jills, but certainly some of the best skiers in the winter and all throughout the year. So the idea that it's now been going over 60 years is pretty darn amazing. And I think a testament to not only the community being really proud of the event, but also that the athletes, and certainly Fred, I think, could speak to that, that I think the athletes really love coming here. They compete all around the world, but there's something about the hospitality of Hayward and just the highest level of competition to make it pretty amazing.
Yeah, and if I could interject on that, kind of an interesting thing as Ben's been talking, I was thinking about that the Lumberjack World Championships have been around for 60 years, and so they started about 1960. Well, if you go back 60 years before that, they were actually still doing log drives on the Namekagon River here in Hayward. And so Lumberjack Bowl is on Lake Hayward, which is an impoundment of the Namekagon River that was originally impounded as a log holding pond for the Hayward sawmill. So Hayward started as a logging town and then later, you know, went into fishing, you know, hunting and fishing, more of a fishing and resort place. But I have a really super interesting story. I've got a cabin on the Chippewa Flowage, and on the west fork of the flowage is formed by, again, another is an impoundment. It's a reservoir. And one of the main rivers that comes in is the west fork of the Chippewa. And I fish that river fairly frequently. I've got a cabin on the Chippewa Flowage. And over the years, there's one spot along that river where I used to see these large spikes. These were these 14-inch long hand-forked spikes in a very odd spot. And I would see them in the roots of the trees on the bank of the river. And I always thought, well, I wonder, there must have been a bridge there. I thought there had to have been a bridge, but it's an odd spot for a bridge. Well, then we had a big rain event 2 years ago, which was a 8-inch rain event, which blew out the west fork of the Chippewa River. And it scoured that area of the bank. And I realized after looking, so it exposed more of these spikes, I realized it was an old wing dam. It was a wing dam that was made, that was constructed on that river that was about 200 feet long, a pile of rocks that actually diverted the water of the river away from a large bend in the river so the logs didn't jam there.
Ah.
It was so cool. I have a couple of those spikes. And when I figured that out, I was like, that was a wing dam for sure. That was, you know, they built that by hand to divert the logs so they didn't jam up on that river. And that probably happened, you know, in the late 1800s or, you know, early 1900s. I mean, they logged here for about 40 years.
Sure. Yeah, we talked to Jerry Apps about a year ago, I think it was. He's got a book out on the history of logging in Wisconsin. And so that's a really neat book if anybody's interested in getting a little more on the history. Ben, do you include the history, the historical aspect of it in the event? Is that part of it?
Yeah, you know, there's always an educational part, and oftentimes we're really fortunate to have a bunch of good groups here as well, from not only the DNR, the Park Service, some of that history stuff that Fred was talking about, but then also certainly always talking about
Tony and the history of the event as it's evolved. We are able to sometimes find some of the old, we'll run some of the clips of Wide World of Sports and that group when they were here. There's some great old footage of the early events, as well as Historyland, which is what Tony had in that area. He had built sort of this mini downtown, and that was a part of where Lumberjack Bowl was, and the Nemecogon Queen, I believe, was the name of his boat that he had, a big boat there. And some of those same pieces are still utilized, he had an opening ceremonies. We like to have an opening ceremonies, not exactly the same, but I think some of those history pieces are really important to make sure we never forget them, because they are a big part of how we got to where we are now.
Absolutely. So let's give again, before we end up here, why don't you give us the dates, give us where to find the information, some of the stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah. If you go to the website, Lumberjack World Championships, it's plural, lumberjackworldchampionships.com, you can get all the information you need on tickets. Actually, there's a couple ways you can get reserved seats. So if you want to sit in exact seat, or there's general admission. So either of those options, you can buy 1 day or 3 days. July 29, 30, and 31. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. I know tickets are starting to get pretty thin on Saturday for Championship Saturday. So if you're interested in that, get there soon, as well as all sorts of information at the different vendors. You got to make sure you show up hungry. There's all sorts of great food vendors. Oftentimes you can try log rolling. There's a school here, the Nemecogon Log Rollers, have a little pool set up that everybody can try log rolling. So it is really kind of a fun family event. Bring everybody, and live music and the like. And we hopefully we'll see you up here at the end of July.
Wonderful. What about parking? It seems like there's a lot of people.
Yes, good point. We actually are fortunate to have a couple fields nearby. So unlike some of the other larger events in Hayward, you can park on site. And there's some fields that we direct people to that are just within, a couple hundred meters of the Lumberjack Bowl. And oftentimes there's groups that will offer to give you a ride in a golf cart for a little tip as a fundraiser, whether it's for the cheerleading group does it and a few others oftentimes. So, yeah, it really brings the whole community together in a very entrepreneurial way, I think, and really showcases the timber industry here in northern Wisconsin. It's still very strong. And we love hosting the world right here.
And I'd like to add too that as for a large event, a large festival event, it is easy to get to. There will for sure be parking nearby, and even on Saturday, once the reserve seating, and the reserve seats are excellent seats, but they're also the general admission seats. You can come there without a reserve seat and wander around, and you're going to have a great time. There's a lot of room in Lumberjack Bowl. So for people who all of a sudden decide at the last minute that would be fun, by all means come. You're going to get in. You're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great show, and you're going to be able to see everything.
Wonderful. And that's rain or shine, right? You guys, even if it's...
Absolutely.
Yep, rain or shine, it happened. There's been a few rain delays here and there, obviously for the safety of the athletes, but knock on wood.
You've been lucky.
Yes, very fortunate. So we're going to hope that streak continues.
Okay, great. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it.
All right, great. We've been talking to Ben Popp and Fred Scheer about the upcoming Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward. The dates are July 29th through the 31st. Yes, I put a typo in my script. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back to talk about scuba diving.